If you think trains will stop if they see a car on the tracks, you're right, they will. About a mile after they hit you. In 2015 alone, 230 people were killed at railroad crossings. Don't become the next fatality. Stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another episode of La Femme Pro, The Pros. My name is Musu, and I am your host. Again, welcome, and thank you so much for your interest, your feedback, and your support. It is much appreciated. Before we get to tonight's guest, I would like to do our usual announcements, just to let you guys know that we are here every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And to listen in on our live episodes, it is www.blogtalkradio.com/FOWM. And we are also on Twitter. If you could please connect with us on Twitter, it would be greatly appreciated, as we would love to know who's following and who's listening. The handle is @FocusOnWomen3, @FocusOnWomen, the number 3. And we are also on Facebook, where we post all of our shows. It is facebook.com/LaFemmePros. And last but not least, if you would like to advertise or sponsor a segment of our show, we are working on opportunities for people to sponsor segments. If you want to sponsor an author or a certain part of the show, as we continue to build our platform here at La Femme de Pros, you can send an email to shewhoascends@gmail.com. That's shewhoascends@gmail.com, shewhoascends@gmail.com. All right, so we are actually just waiting a bit for our guest. He is a graduate of, I believe, the University, Upper Iowa University, and he studied law, and in present day, he is a Maryland state delegate representing Charles County, Maryland, and he actually made history. He is the first African-American from Charles County to hold state office, and back in 2012, he decided to go out and start his own law practice. So he has a political office, he's practicing law, and he's fighting for the different issues of child justice. And we plan on having Delegate Wilson here with us, and we're hoping that there weren't any difficulties, because we know that a lot of different things have been going on just in general. So, but in the meantime, I do want to remind you guys about our social media, Facebook and Twitter. Also, we are also have some upcoming episodes lined up for you. If you join us next week, we are going to have Sherry Rentschler back with us. And if, for those of you who have been listening with us, who've been following us from the beginning, you'll remember Sherry was on here a couple of months ago, where she read some of her poetry. So she will be back, because, of course, we love to have all of our guests back. So she will be back to read more. She has a book coming out, and she's going to share the release of her book with us. So we're very excited about that, and she will be sharing excerpts of her book. So, and it's from what I've heard, it's, you know, it's pretty on edge. It's, you know, there's some controversial things going on in there, especially with what's going on in the present day as we watch the news and see the different things that are going on. She has her views on that and would love to express them with us. So she's more than welcome to do that. So Sherry will be on. Coming up for August, we will also have another feature entrepreneur, because the episode with Kiana Murray was so successful. We are trying to build on that and just, you know, spotlight someone in the world of entrepreneurship every now and then. So we have a couple of people lined up for that. So please stay tuned, because we will share that info with you once, you know, everything is confirmed. But just know that things are definitely in the works. And also, I also want to remind you that most of our guests that come on here, for example, Sherry Rentschler, who will be on next week, her book and many other people who have been on the show, their books are available on the Focus on Women magazine website. So if you go to focusonwomenmagazine.net and go to the e-book store, you'll be able to see everyone's books there that you can purchase if you want to purchase from that website, just so you know. And also, please be sure to go back and listen to our previous episodes. We would love for you to continue sharing. It's content that will be around for a long time, and the insight that our guest gives us is very, very valuable. So you can, again, go to blogtalkradio.com/FOWM, and you'll be able to retrieve our previous episodes. All right, so before we move on, we're going to go to a quick break, and we will be right back. All right, don't go anywhere. Thank you. right, everyone. Sorry for the delay. I have Delegate Wilson on the line now, and I'm going to go ahead and bring him in. So if you want to, please make sure you go out and share and let everyone know what the show is all about. And we're going to go ahead and get started. All right, Delegate Wilson, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you again so much for coming on.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
All right. All right. So I've read your book, and, you know, we're going to talk about that in a bit, but we usually start off our show by having the guest introduce themselves, just a little bit about their background info, if you could, please.
I'm C.T. Wilson, Maryland State Delegate, the first African-American ever to represent Southern Maryland and Charles County at the state level. I have three beautiful daughters and a wife, and I'm a veteran. I served 8 years in the United States Army, and I'm the chair of the Veterans Caucus for the state of Maryland as well. And additionally, I'm a lawyer. I have my own law firm now. I spent 8 years as a prosecuting attorney and a division chief, and I now own my own law firm. Decided to go practicing to my, you know, take my practice into my own hands.
Okay. So you wear a lot of different hats.
Basically.
Okay. So what do you think sets you apart from other politicians?
Well, I hope setting apart isn't the right word. I do hope there are other people out there like me, but that basically, to say I'm a real person sounds kind of corny, but as I've been in the politics a very short time, I realize most folks are there for self-aggrandizement. And you'll see them because you just have to look on the Facebook page. And, you know, when they talk about giving out water during, riots and stuff like that, instead of just doing it, they want to bring the attention to themselves. The reason I ran for office is because coming up in the system, I saw how broke it was for abused children. As a veteran, I see how veterans are mistreated, disabled veterans are mistreated. I see, you know, how crime affects black communities and how a lot of times we are very much minimized and our votes are taken for granted by both parties. And then we're kind of played as, we're kind of played as elected officials. And so I believe what sets me apart is I'm not owned by anybody. I don't have any strong political aspirations, so they can't really buy me out. All they can do is deal with me, which is kind of, I think a good thing. And I wish more people would really take that under advisement as far as, you know, a way to be a successful elected official. Because I know that I'm not there to lead, but I'm there to serve. As a member of the legislature, you're not the executive branch. Your job is to serve and reflect the needs of your community. And so
absolutely,
I believe that's what sets me apart.
Okay. All right. And in your book, 10,000 Hills, A Little Boy's Journey, you go into a lot of detail about your upbringing and, what happened to you while growing up in a foster home. And like I said, you described it, the different things that happened to you. Initially, you never told anyone. What, if you could tell us a little bit about that and also tell us, you know, what kept you from saying anything to anyone?
Well, I guess the things that happened to me, I was unfortunately very graphic in my book for a reason, because I did not want to be there. That's been one of the most difficult things I ever had to do, because people need to understand that, you know, the goal in life is to get over stuff, and holding on to it and remembering it is very difficult. So it's been very tough even since I've written the book, because every one of those scars, you know, that I had to rip them open one at a time. And I think I tried to talk about it in the beginning of the book, how, you know, any little break is okay, but if this is like a death by a thousand cuts, opening up all those things at one time is very difficult. The reason that I was graphic is because I wanted people to really understand what abused individuals go through, but also I kind of knew most of the folks that read it would be somebody like myself, and I wanted them to know they weren't alone. And that, you know, because that's one of the most difficult things, I believe, is suffering by yourself when you don't think anybody's gone through what you went through. And as human beings, we tend to, you know, go that route, that nobody could suffer as much as I've suffered. And I never wanted it for pity. I mean, I wanted my legacy to be something much greater than the fact that I was a sexually abused little boy. And I hope that it is. But I also know that God put me in a position for a reason. So I might as well try to help as many people as I can, even if it's to let them know that they're not alone. And if, you know, if I can make it day by day, that they can too. The reason I never really told anybody is because it kind of goes back to, it's not something I'm proud of. You know, it's not a bragging point. It's not something I feel that, you know, it's, I never introduce myself as a victim. I kind of get annoyed when people do that. They call themselves victims or survivors. I'm C.T. Wilson. I'm a father.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a husband. I'm so many other things. That doesn't define me. Now, granted, it may have defined a lot of my actions in my, you know, judgment calls, but I refuse to let it own me. That doesn't signify who I am or delineate who I'm going to be. And that's kind of what I was trying to get across in the book, that there's so much more to me than that. But for people that didn't know me, it was a huge surprise. And that's exactly what it's supposed to be. And to anybody else out there who's listening, you don't have to be known by your abuse and your failures, the things that have happened to you, the bad things thrust upon you. You could be known by many other things if you choose to. Because
right.
I just didn't want to be known by that.
Right. And I totally agree, and it's interesting that you bring that point up, because a couple of weeks ago we had Mildred Muhammad, who's the ex-wife of the DC sniper, on the show, and she
yes.
pretty much said the same thing you just said, where she doesn't just want to be known by those things that happened to her.
Exactly.
Not only has she moved on from that, but, you know, she's in a different place now, and she wants people to see other things about her, so...
And the reason I say that is not because I need you to see different things about me, and it sounds very bad, but going through life alone, I don't really care what people think about me, but I want them to think better about themselves. I really do. I don't care if you know anything else about me. I don't care. But I want people to know that they can be bigger than that, that they can be better than that. Unfortunately, one of the things, when you go through the abuse and stuff that I went through, you have to learn to almost disassociate yourself with society. You have to learn, you know, because, you know, the social mores don't really apply to you. The system lets you down. And in order for you to, like, emotionally and mentally survive it, you have to kind of cut yourself off and not really care. Because if you do care, then you're going to be crushed by how you were left hanging. And the people that love you the most are the ones that hurt you the most.
Right.
So, but I don't want people to ever miss the point that they could be so much greater than that. If they just, you know, learn and not let that, you know, delineate or, like I said, you know, justify who they are.
Right, exactly. And as you share your story, you said you know it reopened up a lot of scars. But has there been, with you talking about it, has there been any healing that you've experienced as you continue to talk about?
No.
Wow.
No. That's one of the things I think is a huge misnomer. You know, a lot of psychologists, anybody who's kind of taken the classes know, most of it's psychobabble anyway, because it changes. I mean, Sigmund Freud at one time was the godfather of, you know, psychology. Now we realize he's a total fraud. You know, people say that all the time, oh, but if you just talk about it. Number one, a lot of us do a very good job of covering these wounds up and letting them heal. Digging, and I tell people all the time, if you constantly look behind you, you're going to fall. You're going to fall on your face by whatever little hump is in front of you. And it's not that you don't acknowledge that it didn't. You can't. You might not pretend it didn't happen, but yeah, talking about it was not helpful. It was. I did not do that for personal gain, benefit, or catharsis. It was the worst experience that I've ever had. To the point where I literally have to sleep by myself quite a bit now because I have nightmares. A lot. I was fine for a long while until after I wrote that book. And in opening all that back up at one time, it just, I'm not saying destroyed me because I'm a big boy, I'll make it. But it really changed my sleeping habits because these aren't nightmares, these are just memories. And it'll be the same, you know, they're sometimes repetitious, sometimes they're from the point of a child. Sometimes the dreams are me as an adult watching it happen to me as a boy. Sometimes it's me with the mindset of a little boy, that helpless feeling of not being able to escape and have to just try to endure. So there was no blessing in disguise. The book, it's not like it's made a lot of money. It's just something I did because I remember one little girl stood up one time, she's a 14-year-old girl, and she asked me why haven't I written a book. And I said, well, you know, I really didn't, you know, I'd never planned on it. And I said, because I'm not where I want to be successful. And she said, well, to us, you are. You know, she'd experienced, you know, a lot of the things I'd experienced. And so I said, you know, just in case God takes me away early, I wanted people to know they're not alone. So it was not for personal benefit gain or anything.
Okay.
And it has not been helpful.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and I appreciate your honesty because I think you're right. There is a misconception that if we talk about it, then it'll be like a cure-all. And
right.
It's
like when people say, oh, if I could just find out why. I'm like, what is that going to do? Because why doesn't change what happened. If he could tell you why it happened, that doesn't do a mean a hill of beans to the victim, the person who was abused, because it doesn't change what happened. They think closure, sometimes closure, like I wrote in my book, is when you close the chapter. Closure doesn't come from somebody else, and I don't empower other individuals with that, you know, with that ability to give me closure. I have to give me closure, and I'll find a way to close this book again.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a while.
Yeah. Okay. Well, as far as forgiveness goes, is it possible to reach a place of forgiveness towards your abuser?
That's a challenging question, because I think forgiveness, it's how to say that I hold, like, that I can you forgive something like that? It's meaning if you were alive, would I let him be around my children? No. Would I want to have a relationship? I would want to have a relationship with a bad person, period. I would want to have a relationship with somebody who abused somebody else. So forgiveness on that level, as in would I negotiate or deal with them? No. As far as forgiveness, as far as in my heart, again, when you move on and you kind of try to put it behind you, that's about as close as forgiveness. Because, you know, it's just a very esoteric term, and I don't mean to give you the legal answer, you know, kind of dance around with a political answer. But what I'm saying is, it's almost an esoteric term, forgiveness, because it means different things to different people. If I wish him ill, no, I don't. Do I hope he made it to heaven? I guess, you know, but at the end of the day, I don't think of him enough. I try to just not think of them enough, so forgiveness is not really an issue. So I don't hold him in any way in my heart, ill will or not, you know. So I guess that level of forgiveness is possible. But to me, it's just, yeah, that's, and again, I'm sorry if I didn't give you the PC answer, or, you know, it's just, I don't really believe it's that simple. But people really try to simplify, and it's no offense to you or anybody who asks. You oversimplify the issue when you say, oh, can you forgive somebody? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? Why? Right. And, you know, if meaning if can you, are you going to find a way to let it go so it doesn't destroy you? Yes. Can you find a way to put it out of your mind and heart so you can be a good person and you're not vindictive and angry all the time? Most assured. Because that to me is not forgiveness. That's just making sure that that person who hurts you doesn't win. If that means looking at that person and saying, you know what, you don't matter enough for me to hold ill will, then yes, you can forgive them. But personally, do I feel I would ever embrace somebody who's done something like that? Of course, no, hell no. Not in a million years. And even if they didn't do it to me, no, you don't deserve my time, my energy. You don't deserve to know my children. None of that. Because if that's forgiveness, then I guess no.
Okay. Hey, I loved your answer. I wasn't offended by it at all. I mean, that's just the reality of it, yeah.
It is. It is the reality of it. And I wish people, because sometimes people get caught up in little stuff like that, in the nuances of, well, what is, you know, the forgiveness. I'm like, well, why do you care? Just don't let it destroy you. So, yes, on that basic level, don't hold it so close to your heart at anger that it poisons you, because it's already a cancer in your body. How fast you're going to let it grow is up to you.
Exactly. Okay. And in your book, you also talked about how you know, the different struggles you went through trying to find out who you really were. At what point did you come to realization about your true identity?
Great question. Again, super, super, vague is not the word. But never. There is no true identity. If you mean like if I come to terms about what happened to me as a child, or my race is an African American, or you know what, you know, I'm that's a daily, I won't even call it a struggle, a discovery. I was telling a friend of mine yesterday when I was on the phone with him, I said, you know, my goal in life is that I leave a legacy that's much greater than the man I actually am. That my daughters will not see me the broken, weak man that was a victim, that was abused, that was sodomized, that was, you know, almost destroyed, but this person that I'm trying to create, this person that I day by day set out to be. That's what I hope my legacy is. I hope my legacy isn't C.T. Wilson. It's something bigger. It's what I put on a suit for every day. I really do, because that's discovering myself. Well, I guess I've discovered is excuse my language. I always say, I look every morning I get up, and I wrote in the book, it's still true, I have all these reservations, all these self-doubts every morning, and I say, this is the day I'm going to destroy everything. Or no, I would say, I'm eventually going to destroy and lose everything that I have. All I can say is, not today.
Okay.
Eventually, my demons are going to catch up with me, be it my anger, be it my sexual tendency. Something is going to catch up and break me. All I can say is not today. So then say my true identity is an ongoing thing. And again, I'm not trying to give you a esoteric answer. I'm merely saying that it's that constant discovery, because the demons are there. They're right under the surface. And you're almost just day by day trying to find out, okay, what am I going to do today? What am I going to prepare myself for today? Because I know that I'm volatile. So in a wrong situation, I'm going to react very poorly for an elected official or a lawyer or a father. So how do I prepare my battle today? And every day is a battle. Every day is a struggle to maintain and to grow. So I'm constantly trying to define who I am, but not to others, kind of myself, because I want to be better. I don't want to be like I am now. I want to be much better. But so the discovery, you know, it's constant.
It's ongoing, yes.
It's got to be. It's got to be ongoing, because there's so much broken about me. Not broken, but there's so many things that are, you know, I know that I have horrible trust issues. I know that it's very difficult for me to keep friends. And it seems the closer the people come to me, the more distance I put between them. So those are the things I have to do to work on, because I know that I will, unfortunately, not always make the right decisions or react correctly.
All right. Well, we can also talk about, you know, the legal issues that come in dealing with child abuse, you know, because I know a lot of people can relate when they're hearing you tell your story how, you know, years have gone by, the abuser has probably passed away, but you're still here, you're still dealing, you know, with different things. And as far as the, you know, the legal aspect of it, you know, we can use the state of Maryland as an example. Child sex abuse victims have until age 25 in the state of Maryland
right.
to sue their abusers in court. Okay.
Right.
Is there a limit to filing criminal charges? And
no,
is there
not.
Any action being taken? Okay.
But the thing
okay.
about there's no limit for criminal charges. But remember, the longer it's been, the harder it is to find the physical evidence that you're going to need
right.
to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that somebody's guilty. Mm-hmm. So the civil aspect is not beyond a reasonable doubt. It's a different burden, a different standard. So my point for that was that many people just want their story to be heard. It's not that they have to win. They want that person up in court to at least answer whether they're found guilty or not. That's what I thought the biggest frustration with Maryland is by age 25, people still haven't really even come to terms with what they've gone through.
Exactly.
You know, or when some people haven't even admitted it. I've met people, you know, along the way, elected officials, professionals, their family members are still alive, and they're still realizing the damage. Some folks didn't even know it was wrong for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
And so by putting that limit, you do is you're protecting the abuser, and that's what I've never understood. The Catholic Church was a phenomenal example. They come out every year against this bill that I tried, you know, for extending the age. And I never understand why they come out against this bill, because I think as men of God, that would be the one thing that they would want to do, especially because of the black eyes that the Catholic Church has gotten. And their response was, you know, that if this happens, it would bankrupt the Catholic Church. And I'm like, wow, it must be so invasive or pervasive in your church if we could bankrupt the Catholic Church and you guys have your own country. I mean, how much are we talking about? Is that, and if you know that, then you have an inherent problem, you know, and it's heartbreaking. So you'd rather protect the offender than give the victim a voice, because there's still a burden. It's not like the victim can go there and say, oh, he did this to me, and the jury goes, oh, all right, well, I believe him. No, you have to prove it. But what it does is it gives these individuals a voice. There's so many people that I came across, their whole lives have been consumed by what happened to them. And I mean, utterly consumed.
Mm-hmm.
It's heartbreaking. The anger, the angst, the hate. And this, they need that day in order to get over it. They need that moment. So at least they can go to a group of 12 people and say, look, this is what this person did to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they might not believe them, but at least they can tell their story. And just time after time, and they're constantly denied. And it's just such a, and it's painful to see our court system, you know, consistently do that. I've had Joe Valerio, who's the, when I say my bills won't pass, they won't even vote on my bill. If they would, they won't even give me a vote. And, you know, I told him, I said, well, that's exactly what these people have been facing their entire life. You won't even acknowledge what they went through. You won't even give them a voice. And that's what they do to my bill every year. They won't even vote on it. And nobody holds them accountable. He's still the chair. You know, he's still, you know, the chair of the judiciary. You know, Mike Miller on the other side is still a president of the Senate. And they won't even acknowledge and vote on my bill because of the Catholic Church. And I'm not even Catholic. So this wasn't about Catholic Church to me.
Right, exactly.
So
exactly.
To me, there's a big legal hurdle. And every year, I don't know if you had a chance to watch my testimony. I really gave my heart and soul 2 years in a row to talk about the effect on me as an adult. And I try to get people to understand that even when the abuse is over, that doesn't mean the damage stops.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yes, I did catch the last one you did, yeah.
And it's never comfortable, it's never good, it's very disruptive to my entire life to put myself out there like that. But it's heart-wrenching to know that everything I give, you know, is all for naught because it won't even come to a vote. And, you know,
wow.
I said last year this is my last year, but I'm pretty sure I'll have the confidence or the courage or the stupidity to do it again because I don't know how to give up, I guess. But it is very heartbreaking to see these people who know they need something, that source of vindication, and it's never going to come for them.
Wow. And, you know, that a lot of people aren't even aware, you know, that this is going on. Every year a bill like that is not even being acknowledged.
And I'm telling you, one of the things that is down about, because I'm not a political person, like I don't get on Facebook and blah, blah, you know, brag about the thing
right.
I do because that's my job. That would be like a teacher bragging every day about her grading papers. You know, that's your job. Why the hell would I brag about the thing that I'm sent up there to do? But the downside of that is people don't know. So things like this are kind of swept under the rug because it'll die a quiet death and nobody will ever say anything. And it's very hard for me to find a way to get enough people to make a big difference or to get on the news or something to where I can actually get people enraged because this shouldn't be a problem. And people
right.
should be held accountable. And it's not political, so why are they trying to make it so?
Right, exactly. Well,
yeah.
I think like you said before, they have their own personal agendas, you know, that they're focused on.
Yeah, that's why they're politicians.
You know.
You know,
yeah,
and that's, again,
exactly.
what's about making me different because they have to please so many masters, and it's to the
yeah.
point where they won't even do the right thing, even the right thing is readily apparent and right in their face.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you can get them to do the right thing is that they can benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why our system is broke. That's why, and we keep voting the same people in. And we keep voting, and we never even look to see who we're voting in. And, you know, and African-Americans, we will vote D in a minute. We'll vote Democrat. It's always, let me tell you, Democrats are always the ones standing away of my bill. It's not Republicans. These aren't Republicans I'm talking about. These are Democrats. Okay, that's one thing I guess I should clarify. These are all Democrats.
Hmm.
Okay, we're Democratic in the House and the Senate for time immemorial in Maryland to be held and led by Democrats. It's Democrats
wow.
that stand in the way of my bill every year. It's Democrats that won't let it come to a vote. It's Democrats who won't even give these people the opportunity to give a proper statement in a judiciary. Democrats, not Republicans. See, we like to villainize those folks, but again, actually, I have Republicans that support me. It's Democrats
wow.
that won't do it. Yeah, if the powers that be are not Republican, they're Democrats. And they want to play this, you know, this Bloods and Crips crap and this gang mentality of it's us versus them. Yeah, well, as a sexual abuse child, as a disabled veteran, yeah, it's not a gang thing to me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's who's going to help. And I've seen Democrats turn their back on veterans, turn their back on my bills, on abused children.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that gang mentality doesn't work, and it's sad that it works for the rest of the community.
Yeah, wow. But, you know, let's also discuss the social services system. You were a foster child, and so you saw how things were when you were growing up. Compare it to present day. Has there been any improvements? And if not,
well, let me tell you again, that's a very good question because I'll give you an example of the no side. I put in a bill several years ago that allows anybody who's in foster children beyond the age of 13 to get free college tuition. I deal with foster kids on a regular basis that do not know that that law exists. That law is 4 years old now. All foster kids can go to college for free up until the age of 25. They don't even know that. Why would you not tell a foster child, As soon as they hit 13, hey, buddy, no matter what happens to your life, you got free college. Don't wait till they're 17 and 18 talking to the college career counselor, and they haven't even graduated, and they won't graduate to tell them they would have gone to college. So that's how broke the system is. When the kids don't even know their benefits, they don't know they can stay on free health care at the age of 26. We have a broke system here because it's not that important. It is not sexy. Oh, you know, oh, we talk about same sex marriage. Oh, it is. That's a sexy thing. Definitely. Oh, that's so sexy. Foster kids?
Right.
Yeah. Those are the little, those are disposable, and they're consistently treated that way. They're given a medium amount of money as far as they're given a very minor amount of money. That the counselors are way overworked, and to me, it is still not much better than it ever was. And this is not bad, and you're talking bad about any of the individuals who actually do it for a living. It has to do with a system that is broken, and anybody who works in that system knows just how overworked they are.
Wow.
Overworked, well underpaid. So when you have that, the fact that I talk to foster kids who don't know they have free college is ridiculous. That's one of the few things they should have to know.
Exactly.
But it goes even better than that. If you don't have parents, like I said, who teaches a little boy good touch, bad touch?
Exactly.
I do that for my daughters, but who does that if you don't have parents?
Right.
How do you know? And again, so I'm not going to sit here and say it's great because I talked to a lot of foster kids who would be very angry with me saying that. Has it gotten better? I guess, marginally. And, of course, you know who's always going to be mad at those statements? Those in charge. The people, oh, they're doing that. They'll give me great numbers. But, again, just like the VA, but when I talk to the actual individuals who are serving, I hear a totally different story, which is very frustrating. Instead of people going in and saying, yeah, we have a lot of work to do, every single damn head of every agency will tell me how great things are. And if that's another ironic thing, it's like when I go talk to the heads of agencies, I'm like, wow, none of y'all have ever been in foster care. None of your deputies have been in foster care. Nobody in this damn organization has ever spent a day in foster care. How the hell are y'all in charge of anything?
Right.
And yes, there are not a lot of us. They call us the 2%ers because only 2% of foster kids ever get to college. But there are a few of us. And they don't even look. They don't even seek them out. They're not counseled. They don't go for consultation. None of that. Most of the foster kids I know that now work in the foster care system do so as nonprofit organizations because they won't even hire these people. And who knows it better than those people? Because you know what?
Exactly.
That's how little they care about the system being fixed.
Yeah.
If you actually cared about it, it's like, you know, you're not going to put a non-veteran in charge of the VA. So why would you put a non-foster child in charge of foster care?
Right. Exactly.
And again, we've been Democrat for generations. It's not a Democrat and Republican thing.
Wow. Okay. Well, I think you answered the next question as far as, you know, actions that are being taken to change or improve the laws. We can talk about, your recovery. You talked about healing briefly, but what has been the biggest factor that helped you recover from years of abuse?
My children. I never want my children to know the pain that I went through. I don't want them to suffer the way I've suffered, obviously, but I don't want them to know the pain that I went through, which means, and I wish a lot of grown folks would understand this, don't carry it with you because they'll see it. Stop.
Yeah.
Let it go. If you can't let it go for you, let it go for your kids so they get to see the best person you can present. Stop carrying that with you. Stop bringing it home and creating an artificial distance or stop being weird. Stop doing that. And you can stop it. We're amazing individuals. I don't ever want my kids to make an excuse for the daddy not being around or for the daddy being lazy or for the daddy being distant. I don't ever want them, when they hear about what happened, to go, oh, well, that's why daddy was like that, ever.
Mm.
That's been the biggest thing because, when you're going through this, the only thing you can look forward to is the future. When you're being abused, all you can look forward to is the future. So when I talk to people, so many people, I'm like, wow, your whole life you were looking to the future, but now it is your future, and what are you doing? You're looking to the past. Your whole childhood, all you could do, you couldn't wait for that next day. You couldn't wait for this to stop. And now that it's stopped, what are you doing? You're sitting here reliving the times that it happened. And I know it is very hard to stop, but I know it's possible to stop it, at least intentionally. I can't stop what I dream, but I can stop the way I react during the day. And I can give my babies that fake smile because if you fake it enough, guess what? It's a real smile.
Right.
Some folks need to understand, and I've been in other countries, And I've seen kids that have gone through way worse than anything you and I could imagine. And they still get up every day and they go to school and they go to work and they exist. They don't turn into monsters. They don't take all kind of medication. They just do. Because they don't have the luxury of failure. Here in America, we do have the luxury of failure, and that's why so many of us fail. But I've known for the longest time that nobody else was going to get my back. I've known I put myself through law school as a bouncer in nightclubs because I knew that nobody could get my back. I didn't have a single family member at my graduation, but I still got my diploma because I knew that nobody else was going to get my back. And now all failure does is destroy me and my three little girls. And I refuse to let that happen. I refuse to whatever Tom Wilson did to me as a child to have me, not my children, suffer because of that monster.
Right.
If that's right. The only success I have in life, let it be that.
Okay.
I'm not going to do that. So my healing comes from that. My healing comes from, you know, and I've watched, I think, I remember when I was a prosecutor, I went to this young man. He owns, I think, Bass Liquors. He's a liquor store. Well, Asian guy. And I went in there because, I thought he was selling drug paraphernalia. He walked to the back. He'd been there for 25 years, and he pointed to the wall. He pointed at these three diplomas on the wall. They were all PhDs and medical degrees. He said, "Those are mine." And I looked at him. I was like, "Oh, crap, what are you doing here?" He said, "No, those are my sons and my daughters." That man worked his life, not for himself, so his kids. And what they did is they gave him their diplomas. But that's what he earned. That I wish we could do that. His greatest success for working that crappy liquor store in the hood is his children being doctors. And guess where they don't work? They don't work in that liquor store in the hood, nor will their children, nor will their children's children, because of his sacrifice. Yeah. That's what keeps me going. Stuff like that.
Wow.
Knowing that my sacrifice, I'm not going to be the next Martin Luther King, but I might inspire them. I don't raise my daughters to marry doctors. I raise them to be doctors. And that's what keeps me going, knowing that my job isn't done until my children are where they're supposed to be. And I don't have the luxury of failure because they don't deserve to fail.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As far as advice that you would share with those, and I think you just did, but do you have any other words of advice to share with those who are trying to take steps towards healing?
Yeah, I'll tell you, one of the first things you've got to say is you have to look at where you are. And if you're laying on the ground, you need to ask yourself a question, is that where you deserve to be?
Mm.
And if you don't, if the answer is no, then you get up. Don't wait for somebody to put their hand out. If you've been hurt by those closest to you, just because you don't have people around you to help you, that doesn't mean you're going to fail. Sometimes you are your own key to success. In fact, many times you are. Yes, it would be great if your life wasn't like that. It would be great if you had parents that loved you. It would be great if you weren't a part of the system. It would be great if you weren't abused. But you know what? That's not your life. That doesn't mean you're going to fail.
Right.
And sometimes you have to fall again and again. And at some point, guess what? You have the strongest legs in the world. Because I'll tell you, I have some strong legs, and it's not from success. It's from falling and picking myself back up. It's from not waiting for somebody else to pick me up. It's from knowing, in fact, that when I do fall, I'm just going to hit the ground really hard. So all I have at the end is some strong legs and a really tough ass because I've fallen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I refuse to lay on the ground. And you do not deserve to lay in that dirt that somebody else created. So you get up and you wait and you pick a direction. You dust yourself off because you're not meant to be there. And I wish people would stop looking to the past for answers because the future is where it's at. I know as a race we're constantly told if you don't know your past, you don't know your future. I've got mixed feelings about that because I'm not looking back too far, all right? I don't know who my dad is, and I don't really know crap about my mom. Does that mean I'm not going to know my future? I don't think so.
Right.
I'm not going to look behind me because I keep looking behind me. I will trip over what is directly at my feet again. And again and again, stop looking for answers from other people. Sometimes you're just not going to get to it. They say it all the time. God works in mysterious ways. What are you looking for?
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you know God works in mysterious ways, if you don't believe it, that's fine. But if you really believe the Bible, then you understand that you're not going to find a lot of those things out until you get to heaven anyway.
Exactly.
Spend that energy doing something out. And please, God, for the life of me, stop putting your hand out. Stop waiting for people to pity you. Stop telling people you're a victim, okay? Tell people you're a nurse. Tell people you're a doctor. Tell people you're an author. Tell them so many other things so when they find out that what you went through, they'll be surprised.
Exactly.
And that's when you know, because when you do that, that's a story, isn't it? You know what's not a story? Some homeless person that was sexually abused. Somebody in jail that was sexually abused. Well, that's not a story.
Nope.
That's not inspiring. That's nothing. And we're better than nothing.
Exactly. And I think that's what your, to me, that's what your book lays out. You were able to escape from the things that happened to you, and you were able to, you know, walk into destiny. And because you describe so many other things as far as advice and different things for the reader to think about other than what happened to you. You know, you were able to, you said you're a dad, you're a husband, you know, things like that going on for you. So, I mean, that in itself should tell people, you know, not to stay a victim. So I do thank you for pointing that out.
Please don't. And also, anybody that cares, I'm not, my book, I donate all the money to nonprofit. I haven't sold but a few copies because I have no clue on how to publish things. But get involved. Yeah, it's not, again, I don't know why. But you, sometimes you just got to do it and let God figure out the rest. But get involved. If you care, get involved.
Yeah.
You know, because the thing is, I'm tired of being the only person up in Annapolis talking. Me and a bunch of broken people. That's what happens. I don't have any doctors coming up and saying me too. I have severely broken people following my statement, and it does not. And you know what? Pity is not what I need. I don't need people to start. I don't give a rat's ass what anybody thinks. I don't need you to pity me. I need you to recognize that it's serious.
Yes.
Okay? And we don't have enough of those. And I know that the people that are successful don't, you know, like, they don't want to look back. And I got you, but you do have to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
You have to see if you can protect others. And right now, these monsters are out there, and they are walking scot-free. Nobody's even calling them to the front. Nobody's even, you know, calling them to the table.
Exactly.
And they're being protected, like I said, by Democrats. And nobody's even complaining about it.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And that's
that
the
thing. Biggest opponent is Democrats. I had no clue.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Republicans support me. When I put a bill in this year because I thought that this is a perfect example. This year there was an amendment onto a bill that I sponsored that basically said if you beat a child at death in Maryland, right now you get 25 years for beating a child. If that child died, the max you could get from a judge is 15. That means that a child's life was only worth 15 years.
Wow.
I put an amendment on a bill to make it life. Do you know that I fought my party for an hour and a half? You know who supported me? 50 Republicans. Every Republican on that House floor voted for my amendment. I was barely able to get 21 Democrats. Barely. I barely got my vote to pass. Now, let me tell you, after the vote passed, 40 of them cowards stood up and changed their vote because now they don't want to be on the wrong side. To protect children. And guess what? Nobody will ever hold them accountable for that.
Right.
Nobody will ever hold them accountable for trying to kill what to me was a no-brainer. And they would sooner protect child murderers because it was a Democratic bill than stand up for the right thing. And nobody will ever stand up there. But guess what? I'm the bad guy. I'm the pariah. I'm the person who's barely a Democrat because I don't believe that those folks should get away with that.
Wow.
That's what our political system has created. There's
like
no
said,
way that I could ever be a bad guy. And I told him, if y'all want me to be the bad guy for protecting little kids that get murdered, I'll be the bad guy. I'll wear that. I don't need this office. I don't need to be reelected. But I will be a thorn in somebody's side even if I can't make a difference.
Right.
Because that should never be. The fact that I had to fight a party, that shouldn't even have been a fight.
Exactly.
And they tried to kill it, and they tried to kill it. Luckily, guess who helped me in the Senate? Governor Hogan's people, the Republicans. My party, after it passed the House, tried to go over the Senate side and kill it.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was this year. That just happened. And that's public record because there's a vote on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And again, none of those folks will ever be held accountable. They'll talk, they'll legalize weed till the day is long. Oh, they're telling me they want to save black lives.
Yeah.
Oh, because marijuana should be legal because these young black men. But what they won't do is protect sexually abused victims, child abuse victims. They won't do that.
Innocent children. Yeah, that's just baffling, mind baffling. But I also wanted to ask you, because I know you do different speaking engagements where you share your story. Do you have any of those things coming up or any other event or project that you would like to share with the listeners?
Unfortunately, and I'm so bad about tooting my own horn. I mean, you can contact me at the State House. I'm at ct.wilson@house.state.gov. My email address on order offhand, but I can be contacted because I literally don't know. When people call me, I go to speak. I don't miss an opportunity to speak to kids. I probably need to get my life together at some point and start focusing on that, but I really just go where I'm asked to go. I have no problem speaking.
Okay.
If anybody you know listening wants me to come and speak to a group of kids, I love to do that. I don't mentor because I have 3 children of my own. I'm really trying to get that right, which is really hard, and I don't want to let nobody down. Very much on, you know, going. I've gone to Virginia. I've gone to New York. I've gone to Iowa. I've gone all over the region talking to people about sexual abuse and how to get through it. I'm always willing to do that.
Okay. All right. And do you have any information for people who are interested in learning more about, you know, the legal fight towards the cause, or can I just give them, you know, your email address to contact you about that?
Yeah, give my email address and contact me, because basically, you know, a lot of times you just got to go on the, and I can direct them individually depending on the question. Again, I think I get, you have it, it's ct.wilson@house.state.md.us. That's the, and if they reach out to me, I can send them, you know, and direct them to a place that they can go. Again, we have these fights, you know, a lot of them are very silent, but they don't have to be. And these fights don't have to be. They can be publicized if enough people will take an interest. Or you have people of influence and power. That's the other thing. Sometimes it just takes one very influential person. You know, you get one star. You get one, you know, radio personality.
Right.
You get one individual who actually has more influence than you and I ever will. That maybe that's the difference. Because it's very hard. It's very hard as an individual to do much. But those folks do have a powerful voice. And I hope that one day, you know, one of those folks step up and, you know, helps me fill this void.
Absolutely.
But in the meantime, I guess I'm going to keep trying.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what you're doing is phenomenal. I mean, it may not look like it's, you know, like anything is changing, but, you know, I think the decision you made to not only share your story, but to also go up and fight for those who don't have a voice is commendable. And, you know, we do want to thank you for that, and we want to thank you for coming on and talking with us about it as well.
Well, this is the first time I've ever done an in-camera interview like this, so it is my pleasure. I really appreciate the opportunity. I hope I wasn't too vague or long-winded or short-winded, for that matter. But
no,
this is something I'm passionate about.
Okay. So I just want to let listeners know again, you can get Delegate Wilson's book, 10,000 Hills, A Little Boy's Journey. It's available on Amazon. Do you have a website of your own where the book is available?
No, ma'am.
Okay. So we can get it from Amazon or, you know, any bookstore or any online bookstore?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. And to contact Delegate Wilson, he can be reached at ct.wilson@house.state.md.us. Delegate, I do want to thank you. Okay. I want to thank
you
again for coming
on. I have a phone number
on.
If you want. Or
oh,
if
yeah,
you
that
guys
would be great.
Do the phone thing.
Yes.
I have a phone number of, 301. 885-3325. Again, that is 301-3325.
Okay. Okay, awesome. All right, so hopefully we can have you back on again you know, you continue to fight. And we do want to thank you again for coming on, Delegate.
And thank you for the opportunity, and I look forward to working with you in the future, ma'am.
All right, thank you so much.
Have a good day.
All right, you too. All right, everybody. That was Delegate C.T. Wilson. He is the delegate representing District 28 in Charles County, Maryland. He was the first African-American for Charles County to hold a state office position as such. So he has his delegate position. He is a practicing attorney, and he is very passionate about fighting for children's rights in the foster care system and for children that have been abused. Again, if you would like to contact the delegate for any speaking engagements or to find out what events he has coming up, or if you have questions about child justice, child abuse issues, or foster care issues, You can reach him at ct.wilson@house.state.md.us. His phone number is 301-885-3325. All right, so that I do want to thank him again for coming on. That was a very powerful conversation, I think, and he shared a lot. And as you can see, he's very passionate about what he does. So, again, you can reach out to him by phone and email. And please tune in again next week where we will have author and poet Sherry Rentschler on. She's going to be sharing her poetry from her latest book. And you can also keep in contact with us, please, on Facebook and Twitter. You can connect via Twitter at Focus on Women and number 3. And you can also get with us on Facebook, facebook.com/LaFemmePros. All right, so I will see you next week. Thank you, as always, for tuning in, and take care.
Napa Know How.
A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Allergy sufferers, my name's Nigel, and as a well-educated owl, I know the difference between what's wise and unwise. Texting after 3 glasses of Merlot? Unwise. Using new Zizol for 24-hour relief of your allergy symptoms? Quite wise. Because Zizol is just as effective at hour 24 as it is at hour 1, relieving your symptoms for a better night's sleep and a more productive day. So for continuous 24-hour allergy relief, don't be unwise. Be wise all. Take new Zizol. Use as directed.